We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Dynasty Tradecast on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by the Blue Wire Network and our friends over at Underdog Fantasy, your home for best ball and more. And if you listen later in the show, we're going to give you an opportunity to get a 100% deposit match up to $100 so you can get involved with Best Ball Mania 3 and all of the other great contests at Underdog. All right. So today we are missing Dan. Dan's wife is out of town, and therefore Dan has 18 kids that he has to juggle. Justin also has 18 kids, but he has taken the time out to join me this evening. How's it going tonight, Justin Peek, the lovely editor of the Tradecast? And you know, I feel like you were a sub co-host for like 2 or 3 months in 2020, 2021, but like we haven't had you on in a while.
Yeah, having another baby will do that. So. I haven't had nearly as much time to be able to even sub in whenever you needed to, so had to leave you and Dan hanging sometimes on your own, but happy to try to be a sounding board for you tonight and give some input that I can.
All right, let's hop into the show. So this is basically all the relevant players we didn't talk about in our first episode. Make sure to listen to the first post-draft episode for all the fire takes on, you know, the big trades with AJ Brown and Hollywood Brown and all the big first round and second round picks. There's actually we have one first round pick on the list for this evening. We're not going to start there though. We're going to start with, I think, one of the possible landmines of the 2022 rookie draft. And it is one Sky Moore. Sky Moore was a second round pick for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, similar fanfare that was had with Mecole Hardman. And now we're seeing it with Sky Moore. I'm not saying that Sky Moore is the same level of prospect, for better or worse, as Mecole Hardman was. But I do feel like the Sky Moore profile is reminiscent of what we've seen from a lot of disappointing wide receivers, where it's this guy goes in the second round and he's being vaulted above first round wide receivers like Jahan Dotson and even Chris Olave for some people. And it's just like 90% because of the offense and maybe 10% because of his profile. Do you also see Moore as a landmine, or do you think that the situation calls for him being, you know, that mid to late first round pick?
I definitely think, I mean, we've seen some history with the Chiefs. Yeah, they're a great offense, and the people that are there tend to end up producing, but it's because they've got talented people there. It's not necessarily because like just, okay, anything that they touch turns to gold. So, I mean, we've seen CEH that, you know, everybody vaulted him up high in the rookie drafts and didn't work out for him. You know, Mecole, obviously, I don't know that anybody had him nearly as high as like CEH, but I don't know that just that situation is that great to where he should be valued as highly as, yeah, I've seen what you're talking about, people taking him above receivers that he was drafted behind. So I likely will not be getting him.
Yeah, I don't have any Sky Moore quite yet. My one opportunity was where I could have possibly gotten them. I was one pick away in Superflex, and the top two guys were Kenny Pickett and Sky Moore. And I decided to trade a third and fourth round pick to move up one spot because I thought the guy above me was going to get Kenny Pickett. And as you hear sirens in my background, I traded up, got Kenny Pickett, and the guy after took Sky Moore. And then I asked him, "Were you going Sky or Pickett?" And he said Sky. So I could have sat still, and I still would have had Pickett. But I think that's probably where he's at in Superflex now, where it's like, you know, after Dotson, you know, it's really a decision of, do you want Sky Moore or Kenny Pickett? And looking at his Rotoviz box score scout, his similarities, Torrey Smith's a very solid, you know, comp going into a very solid offense with the Chiefs. Anthony Miller at 89, Elijah Moore 88, DJ Chark 87, Rashad Bateman 82, Chris Gibbons 79. So a nice grouping, not nothing that's like beating the door down with those comps, but there is definitely, you know, legitimate options where he becomes like an NFL wide receiver two and like a dynasty wide receiver three. Do you see that as an upside, or you see that as maybe even more of a median?
I would say that's probably the upside. I mean, he definitely has plenty of room. I mean, that offense is good. So if he is as talented as, you know, I assume the Chiefs probably saw something in him, then hopefully he can be that. But I definitely think that's more where that's the highest he can be. That's the ceiling, like you're saying. So,
yep. All right, let's move on to the next wide receiver, and it is one Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams, first round pick. The Lions moved up from 32 to 12 to ensure they got him. And I think we talked about it a little bit last week, but it wasn't on the rundown. But the Lions are putting together an offense that could be very scary once they get the quarterback position figured out. And even in the meantime, I think that Goff can be like a legitimate like low-end QB2, high-end QB3 in an offense that has T.J. Hockenson and D.J. Chark and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. I think it's a very – and DeAndre Swift as well. Like, it's a very good young offense, you know, sans the QB position. So I'm buying Jameson Williams more so for the concept of 2023, because I don't think that the Lions escape the 2023 draft without, you know, selecting a quarterback in most likely the first round, if not the first round, then the top two rounds. So what is your outlook on Williams? I think that my general and immediate outlook is it's a little bit crowded for a golf thing for Williams to be relevant in year one. But I think that his upside in year two with an elevated offense is sky high, like legitimate top 15, top 16 wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see what you're talking about with that offense. And, you know, I think there is, like you've said in the past, in other years, I think, of there's room for Goff to be able to be actually decent and then to end up winning some games. So that's where I'm a little bit hesitant of exactly how good of a quarterback they're going to end up getting. We've seen as well that a lot of the players.
Oh, sure. They still have the Rams first to move up if needed to.
True. So yeah, I mean, with that first, then maybe they get one. So, but they need to move up because we've seen a lot of the players having some passion to make sure that they're winning, even if the team isn't necessarily that good. They try.
No, sure, and of course the Dan Campbell biting kneecaps. Like, Dan Campbell is not the coach you want if you're trying to throw games. And I don't think the Lions are. They're putting together a very solid team very quickly. And so with Jameson Williams, we talked a little bit about the hierarchy of where he is with those top four wide receivers. Justin, where do you have him among the Garrett Wilson and Drake London and who's the fourth one? Oh, Treylon Burks.
I have him, honestly, the fourth of those.
Yeah. Okay.
Burks is my one. I'm a homer in that sense. So, but yeah, I love those other players. So I'd still rather take him, but I'm definitely still excited to get any of those four.
Yep, and looking at his Rotoviz box score scout, 95 comparable to Jerry Jeudy, 77 Lamb, 72 Aguilar, 62 Corey Coleman, 61 Calvin Ridley. So some nice names on that list, but also, you know, some that haven't, like, you know, shown what they're exactly. Like, we don't know if Jerry Jeudy's a good comparable or a bad comparable really yet. And he's had a fine career thus far, but it's not like he's been a dynasty hit so far. Next, we'll go to Christian Watson of the Green Bay Packers. I think that I'm putting him in a similar mold to Sky Moore, where I feel like he's getting elevated because of his landing spot. Granted, he was a very high second-round draft pick, and he's going to an Aaron Rodgers offense that is devoid of targets. So I think that there is definitely an opportunity for a very high immediate floor. One thing I would compare it to, not in terms of like his ability, but more in terms of like the situation, would be Kelvin Benjamin in his rookie year, where he just had that deluge of targets. And obviously there's an upgrade in targets between a Cam Newton target and an Aaron Rodgers target. But I think that he might have a very high target floor. And it's just a matter of, is he a good enough prospect to convert those targets into, you know, like wide receiver two or wide receiver three? Or is he just, you know, a run-of-the-mill guy who's going to be, you know, a wide receiver four?
Yeah, I honestly like his upside a little bit better than Sky Moore. Not even necessarily just his, like that offense, but where he's drafted. He's, I don't know, I mean, they showed that they definitely wanted something there. He's obviously, I mean, he's not, didn't break any records or anything, but he's definitely fast and big. So he's got those measurables to, I think, put together something a little bit better than what Sky Moore is and then is in the offense. So of somebody that, you know, is basically getting a bump for their situation, I'd prefer him. But yeah, I definitely think that he's probably getting overdrafted because of a situation. I'm still.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. Similar to Sky Moore, I think, is that this class is so bad that I think that Christian Watson, Sky Moore deserve to be late first round, early second round rookie picks in this class. I think that in 2023 and 2024, they might be mid second rounders, late second rounders, those type of guys. And, you know, an early second round wide receiver like Christian Watson was, that guy's going to go in the you know, fringe first, early second in most years anyways. But I think that it speaks to the strength of this class that I think most people aren't like running to the podium to select either of these guys. They're like, I really like the situation. I think they're okay prospects. They have that second round draft capital. Therefore, I'm going to take them. It's not like this is like the most talented wide receiver I've seen in so many years.
Right.
Let's go to the running back position. We have James Cook of the Buffalo Bills, formerly of Georgia. He was drafted at 63rd overall at the end of the second round of the NFL draft. His Rotoviz box score style comparables are 100 sim score with Kenyon Drake, Johnny White at 83. Don't know who that is. Chris Thompson, the former Jaguar and Washington football teamer, and Nyheim Hines. So kind of looking like that satellite back with maybe a little bit of upside in James Cook heading to Buffalo. They have competition-ish at the running back position. I think Singletary has played his way into like being an NFL running back. But I don't think that if James Cook is making explosive plays, I don't think they're going to be like, oh, we got to make sure we get Singletary his carries. Like, they're going to put the guy who's making the big plays in that offense, whether it's, you know, Cook or Singletary. Cook is, and I'm not alone in this, he is my favorite of the, you know, non-Kenneth Walker and Breece Hall running backs. And I think that he has the, you know, the highest fantasy floor and ceiling with that reception profile. And mostly just because the landing spots weren't fantastic for the other day two running backs.
Sorry, I missed the question.
Oh, I was just sound off on Drake.
Yeah.
I mean, Cook.
I mean, he's got the upside for sure. I'm not excited about him either. But like we talked about last time, that's probably a lot more with the class too. He's still, you know, probably deserves to be a first round pick in this class. But I definitely have some concerns over him and everything. Those comparables, you know, aren't great, but it is a good offense. And, you know, if anybody can make something happen with that type of running back, then, you know, Josh Allen should be able to, you know, help spread things out and get him going.
Do you think that there's a bit of a narrative, I think, that's spun basically whenever there's a rushing quarterback, that there's a limited upside with the red zone touchdowns with Josh Allen's running back that we saw, you know, from Cam Newton in years past. Like, I don't think that really affects my opinion or profile of James Cook, but is that something that you think should be accounted for? Like, okay, there's going to be those Josh Allen red zone touchdowns.
Well, I don't know that James Cook would have been getting, you know, those up the middle, you know, from the 1 yard line carries anyway.
I think that the goal would be for him to eventually get those if he's, you know, a number one running back. But the question is he a 1A, 1B? Is he a one by himself? You know, that type of thing.
Right. I don't think he's going to be a one by himself to where he would get those. So what goal line touches he's likely to get, I don't think is necessarily coming from like the one just trying to push it in. So, you know, I'm not concerned for, you know, Josh Allen in that respect to take him away. That does, I do believe in that some of those running backs that are going to be those kind of plotters or whatever, but they're going to run it up the middle. But with him having a little bit more of that explosivity, then I'm not as concerned with that portion of it.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Chiefs, Lions, Packers, Bills. Which one of these are you stacking in Best Ball Mania 3?
Chiefs, Lions, Packers, Bills.
The four teams we've talked about so far. Just so you don't, I didn't pick those out of my hat.
Probably the Packers. I was just thinking of them again. Probably the Packers is what I prefer.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers would be an interesting one because a lot of their weapons, sans Aaron Rodgers, are going to be fairly cheap. I think that, you know, Jones or Dillon are going to be a little bit more on the expensive side. But if you're going to stack maybe a Rodgers, a Christian Watson, and a Tonyan, like, that's a pretty reasonable stack that you can probably get, you know, post round 7-8. Whereas, you know, with the Chiefs, like, or not with the Chiefs because they lost Tyreek. But I would say probably honestly with the Lions, like the Lions weapons are going to be going in those first six rounds. And then you can get Goff much later. I think that honestly, the safe play is probably just to take Josh Allen and stack whatever you need with him. And James Cook might not be a bad option there. So if you're going to stack James Cook and Josh Allen, you got to do so with the Best Ball Mania 3. The best place to play fantasy football this summer is Underdog Fantasy. Their Best Ball Mania 3 tournament has $10 million in total prize money. And the best part is you just draft your fantasy football team, and that's it. There's no waivers, no trades, no in-season management. Underdog gives you your best score each week of the season, and the highest score at the end of the year wins. The champion of Best Ball Mania last year drafted in June. So there's no time like the present to join Underdog and take your shot at a $1 million draft. Plus, Underdog is going to double your first deposit up to $100 when you sign up using the promo code ROTOVIZ, ROTOVIZ. That's four free entries into Best Ball Mania 3 when you deposit that $100. So what are you waiting for? Head to UnderdogFantasy.com or the App Store, sign up for Underdog with the promo code ROTOVIZ, ROTOVIZ, and draft your Best Ball Mania 3 team today. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code ROTOVIZ. And make sure you're adding myself at MPLFF, at FF Dynasty, who you're stacking in Best Ball Mania 3. We want to hear from you, the people.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right. Speaking of stacks, we're going to talk about a couple of teammates back-to-back or back-to-back-to-back here. Alec Pierce and Jelani Woods, two weapons for the young Matt Ryan in Indianapolis. Alec Pierce in the second, Jelani Woods, I believe, was in the third. What are your opinion on these two guys? T.Y. Hilton, I think you were a big T.Y. Hilton guy back in the day, or maybe I'm making that up. Nope, by the way, you're not Hilton guy? No. Okay. Well, you know, they hear it first. Justin hates T.Y. Hilton. Doesn't even want him to get a job. Alec Pierce, Jelani Woods, and Michael Pittman is really the entire Colts offense, right? Is there something I'm missing? Like, they had to invest in the, you know, in the weapons position, essentially, or they would have to run the ball with Jonathan Taylor 87 times a game. So, what are your thoughts on these two? Is there a favorite between, not in terms of like, would you trade Jelani Woods for Pierce or would you trade Pierce for Woods, but is there one that is just more of a favorite or a target of yours in rookie drafts right now?
I can't say I'm really targeting necessarily either of them. And that's where, I wouldn't say I hate Hilton. I have had him in on several teams before and stuff, but he's never been. I tend to not go for any other AFC South teams that highly. That's actually why I'm really I hate that Burks got drafted by the Titans, because I love that guy from college, but he has to play against my Jags twice. So I'm not big on either one. I mean, really just from a profile or, you know, because they're Colts. Don't love, you know, hopefully Ryan shows more than what he did last year. And, you know, the change of scenery can help him, but I'm not confident in him either to be able to produce with, you know, any one particular weapon there. You know, I think Pittman probably definitely does at least this year, if not, you know, even potentially next year. Kind of leaves himself as that one, but everything else is going to be kind of spread out. And even I don't know that Pittman's going to be that that highly targeted.
I mean, just looking at it, I am not going to end up with a bunch of Pierce because I'm going in Superflex. I'm going quarterback there. I'm going Desmond Ridder and Malik Willis. You know that the second grouping, the day three Matt Corral. Day two running quarterbacks in Superflex. I'm going over Alec Pierce, and so I'm not getting a bunch of him. I am getting some Jelani Woods in that like third to mid third in Superflex value. Because his upside is immense with his prospect profile of, you know, just being a metrics freak. You know, he blew up the combine. So I like Jelani Woods, but Jelani Woods is definitely the type of player that is huge floor, zero floor, huge ceiling. I don't have his pick in front of me. Let's see if I put, what would you guess? Was that pick 90 about? I'm putting him into the road of his box score scout to see what he was. I mean, to see what he looks like. At pick 90, his comparables are Sprinkle, Gesicki, Keen, Higby. So, you know, some hits there in Gesicki and Higby relatively, you know, from the metrics freak, you know, library of things. But yeah, I'm not like eagerly drafting any of these guys, but I do think that Woods has some nice upside in that Colts offense because there isn't a ton out there. And this one makes a little more sense because they're terrible. Not the players, the team is. Houston Texans are terrible. Davis Mills is going to have a year to prove it and prove that he's, you know, basically a run-of-the-mill backup and not an NFL starting quarterback. But the weapons that have been provided to one Davis Mills, it has been John Mechie in the second and Damian Pierce in the fourth. As a huge draft capital guy, I have to disavow Damian Pierce because he is going ahead of some day two running backs, you know, namely Tryon Davis Price, or is that his name? Tryon David Price, TDP, whatever his name is. And I think there's a couple other day two running backs that he's going, that Pierce is going ahead of. And John Metchie's an interesting one, because I was a little bit wary, you know, due to the injury. But the fact that he went at pick 44 speaks volumes to what the health, you know, staff at Houston, you know, thought of his health issues, and basically saying that they didn't exist or weren't in, or weren't a concern. And looking at his prospect profile, it's pretty attractive. You have a sim score of 90 Percy Harvin, 85 Curtis Samuel, 67 Paris Campbell, 60 McCole Hardman, 59 Lynn Bowden. So, I mean, obviously there's some, you know, duds in there, but when your closest comparable player is Percy Harvin, that's some explosiveness right there.
Yeah, that's, I mean, he definitely has some talent. Main concern is him being healthy. Again, I'll be, you know, biased against Texans, but definitely without a quarterback. They've got a quarterback, but mm-hmm. without a decent quarterback, I don't love him for this year. But kind of with that health, he probably needs some more time anyway. So it may make sense if they can end up getting a high pick this year and get one of the top quarterbacks once he's kind of everything's completely running for him. He's got, you know, some improvement this year and everything on top of being completely healthy, that 2023 could look really good for him.
And back to Damian Pierce for a second. Are you afraid of the amount of day two players he's being drafted ahead of, or do you think that, you know, basically being in the driver's seat for the Texans RB1 warrants that position?
I definitely think on the running back, we tend to end up like letting them having that opportunity definitely helps. It's not necessarily like what I talked about earlier with CEH. He was in an offense that, okay, it's just he's going to be able to get touchdowns and everything. But to have just be able to get really all the touches, I understand why he would be taken even above backs that were drafted in front of him. So I don't discount that as much as like on the receivers, where some of them from opportunity, I like his opportunity in terms of just getting touches instead of opportunity being part of a great offense. If anything, he's part of a bad offense right now. But
yeah. And Damian Pierce's number one road of his box score scout is Damian Harris with a 100 sim score. So, Damian Harris was a day two running back, but Damian Pierce has some opportunity to outlive that NFL draft capital. I'm not sure about the rookie draft capital is the same. Next, we have two more topics. We'll rapid fire them out. Zamir White to the Las Vegas Raiders. Zamir White was a Debbie darling from the moment he, exited high school and entered college, battled, you know, injuries throughout his college time. But, you know, showed flashes that, like, hey, this guy could be, you know, a top running back if he puts things together. Was drafted in the fourth round, I believe, maybe the fifth, by the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders did decline the option on Josh Jacobs, and it's now come out that Kenyon Drake, with his cap hit, is a potential cut candidate this summer. So is everything aligning correctly for Zamir White, the day three guy, 122nd pick overall, to, you know, possibly be a 2023 starter for the Las Vegas Raiders? Or do you think it's us jumping the gun with a bunch of different things?
We're probably jumping the gun a little bit, but I definitely think he's got at least that upside. He's got that possibility. You know, Jacobs, it almost seems to me that at least those better running backs, they're more likely to end up, you know, trying to sit their fifth year anyway and get an actual contract. So it's not quite as concerning to me that they didn't pick up that fifth year. At least, you know, I'm trying to look at the glass half full of that's why they didn't pick him up, is because they feel like they're just going to end up having to give him a contract either way. But it is at least a concern. I mean, why not just go ahead and offer it? And if you need to sign him anyway, then go ahead. But it's definitely out there. I'm not hugely concerned that he's going to lose, not be there. People have done stupider things. And if they did do something like that, and Zamir gets that opportunity, he at least has shown the talent before, if he can stay healthy, that he could be that starter, and he could earn himself a job even if he's only with one of those others. So if only one of them gets cut, he could end up still proving himself, just getting enough touches to show
that. I'm not sure that Zamir White's competition for 2023 is on the roster. I think it's either in the form of a draft pick or maybe a cheaper free agent running back than one Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our final topic. This is the one that people are going to get mad at me. I'm going to get tomatoes thrown at me. I, Nathan Powell, as a Debbie enthusiast, a guy who had selected Justin Ross several times in Debbie Fantasy Football, I am not buying the Justin Ross Kansas City Chiefs hype. I have sung this song. I have danced this dance. If I were a betting man, and I kind of am, if I were a betting man and I could place this wager, I would wager on Justin Ross not making the Kansas City Chiefs final 53-man roster.
It's definitely a very real possibility. We definitely saw some talent in college, but then we saw a lot of, not really doing anything either. So, it wouldn't surprise me either. I wouldn't quite go and stick my neck out that I think he's not going to make the roster, but that's definitely not within the or out of the realm of possibilities. And either way, I don't think he's going to be. I think he's still probably at best an end of roster guy. He's not getting a ton of targets. He's not going to end up producing really anything to speak of, most likely.
Yeah, I think that the people that are, selecting Justin Ross at the end of the second, early third, granted, it's the end of the second, early third in a poor draft class, but I still think you can still get, one of the day two tight ends. You can get, in like one QB leagues, you can get one of the day two quarterbacks. There's definitely a lot of options that people are foregoing for Justin Ross. And I understand like the enthusiasm for him, but the floor is just so low, and I'm not even sure how high the upside is for an undrafted free agent like Justin Ross. So, like I said, loved his talent as an 18, 19 year old. I'm just not sure where he's at, now as a 22, 23 year old.
You still have him on any of those rosters?
No, I might have been embellishing saying that I had him on multiple teams. I had him on one team, and after the neck injury, I was offered Keaton Slovis a pick that became Keaton Slovis. And I don't think Keaton Slovis is going to do anything either, but, at least he has some hope of like exploding at Pitt and then becoming the next Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. He's, still got some room to be able to grow instead of already having, been a UDFA. So.
Yep. All right, that should wrap us up for this evening. Thank you to our sponsor, Underdog, promo code RotoViz. And you heard about me talking RotoViz Box Score Scout. It's my favorite tool when we're talking rookies. Talk it every single week pretty much this time of year. And you can get it by going to rotoviz.com. Use promo code RVRadio2022. 10% discount. I mean, what holiday's coming up? Memorial Day. No, that's probably insensitive. Can't say that one. 4th of July. What?
Yeah, 4th of July.
What is more American than buying your friend a RotoViz subscription? I say nothing. What about you, Justin?
That sounds like a pretty great 4th of July gift to me.
Okay. All right. I'm doing that to all my friends this year. 4th of July gifts, RotoViz passes. That should wrap us up for this evening. Thanks so much for filling in, Justin. I will see you again in 2 years.
Right. Thanks, Adam.
Kadoosh.